This edition of Sunday Night's Main Event is dedicated to the memory of Pedro Morales.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting!
With Dan the Mo Flabransky.
Everyone has a price!
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you!
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
Well, despite being slightly overshadowed by police reports and text message leaks, the soap opera outside the ropes didn't affect what happened inside the ring tonight, and we got some pleasant surprises at Elimination Chamber. The most pleasant being, it was only about 3 hours long!
Yes, it wasn't an epic! Hooray!
Hello and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew. Tonight, joined by my longtime tag team partner, Dan the Mouth of Ransky, for 2 hours of live wrestling radio with a focus on the events we just watched at WWE Elimination Chamber. Mouth, it's just after 10:30. This has literally never happened to us before.
This is so strange, and we're always used to getting run out of time by these shows going long and just coming off the Royal Rumble, which seemed to be an entire week long. Yes, we're here. The show is over. We've got lots to talk about, and we want to hear from you. What did you think of tonight's Elimination Chamber pay-per-view?
That's right. We're taking phone calls all night long. 1-866-729-2562. The phone lines are already open, so get a call in. 1-866-729-2562. The Sunday Night Survey is already pinned up on our Twitter, and it's very, very important. Go check it out at SNME Radio on Twitter and join the conversation on Facebook. The feedback thread is up there. Just search for the group SNME Radio. Taking a break and then back to run down the WWE Elimination Chamber, which once again was only about 3 hours long. I'm already in a good mood. It's Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Yeah, but what does Sasha have left? She went shoulder first into the post, the injured shoulder of Banks, as she wrestles Deville down. Now trying to lock in the Banks statement, middle of the ring.
Sonya trying
Banks,
to fight it.
She's struggling.
Yeah, but she can't use the shoulder. Banks can't use the shoulder to lock in the Banks statement.
Sasha better figure out a way to call an audible quick.
And that's what she did. Deville now.
Oh, wow.
Sasha Banks, the innovator Banks,
oh,
the innovator boss. Tap out.
Well, that is indeed the first time as far as these women's titles went, and a women's tag team elimination chamber was the first match on the main card that we saw tonight. The two words I would use, Mouth, for that match, pleasantly surprising.
I would say amazingly impressed would be my two words.
All right.
Because I think going into this match, neither one of us expected a lot.
I expected a lot.
Well, I'm
don't
not,
get
not,
me
not
wrong.
A, not a lot in a good way. You a lot of train wrecks, maybe.
I actually thought, Mouth, that this match was going to be so bad, it would turn the corner and be good.
Because
we would sit back and just go, we're talking like Heroes of Wrestling. Like,
yeah.
We're watching something tonight that we're going to remember. And we will remember this, but for all the good reasons. This thing was great.
Yeah, honestly, match of the night.
I think so.
Match of the night.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, basically, it was a two-match show, and it's the two chamber matches. The men's one was very good, but honestly, because the women's, it was so good, and we were so pleasantly surprised, and everybody worked incredibly hard in that match. I go with the women's. I thought it was a great match.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you, and we're going to get there. So tonight, it was the WWE Elimination Chamber. The pre-show had the Cruiserweight title match on it, Akira Tozawa versus Buddy Murphy. This was the classic style of, the challenger gets the majority of the offense here, and when it comes right down to it, Murphy retains in the end. Good match. The crowd, I noticed, Mouth, was very into this tonight, even though it was, the first match, it was on the pre-show, and it is a tough time.
Because people are still filling into the building and stuff like that.
But they were into it and got a good reaction.
Yeah, no, and I thought both guys worked really, really hard. I thought it was a good match, a good opening match.
We then go to a very strange vignette here. So Kevin Owens is sitting in what looks to be the back of a limo, and he has a pizza with him. And he continually states, and this is getting suspicious, that doctors are saying he's about a month away from returning. And it's hard to explain to his kids why Becky's not competing tonight or at WrestleMania, but it's also hard to explain why his kids like pineapple on his pizza. He's got a pizza beside him in this limo. He then starts eating the pineapple pizza, and Mouth, I would like to say this set up our Sunday night survey. If you go to our Twitter, our survey tonight is, do you like pineapple on your pizza?
Well,
the important issues.
I think we've made it clear through the years that when Jay and I get together to do these shows on pay-per-view night, we eat a mountain of pizza.
We do.
And we both love pineapple on pizza.
I love it.
I have never had a problem with it.
Me neither.
In fact, I don't think there's a pizza topping I don't like.
There's a few that I don't care for, but maybe we'll get into this a little bit later in the show.
I'll take them on, even anchovies. I'll take them all on.
Let's keep running down the show. Charlie brings out Mark Henry onto the ramp. Of course, they're in Houston tonight, so they're in his home state. He gives his prediction of the women's match as the Iconics, and he kind of gets heat for that. And then he's cheering on Kofi tonight, and the crowd likes that. And the crowd did definitely enjoy Kofi tonight. All right, let's get into it. The Elimination Chamber match. The women's is first up tonight. It was a smart move to put this first. Naomi and Carmella, how about this? Are the first two performers we see on the pay-per-view tonight. This has to be a rib considering what's happened this week in the news with these two performers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, because of that, though, I mean, the match kind of only has one babyface team because Carmella, to the hardcore fans, is a little bit questionable at this point with all that's gone on with Corey Graves. we already know that Sonya and Mandy and Bayley and Sasha are going to be the opening for this match. And then Cole states the other chambers will be opened at, quote, regularly scheduled intervals.
Yeah, that's it. So that we can't call them out on the timing. It's just, we're not going to say 5 minutes. We're not going to say 3 minutes. It's just regular scheduled intervals. So it can be however long they want.
So these are two good teams to start things off. And they do work well together right out of the gate. I mean, you have Devillain Rose taking advantage. But then they're bested by Sasha and Bayley. Lots of work outside the ring here. But, you know, in between the ring and the cage, I found out.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Lots of stuff. Those guys did a great multi-person suplex spot to lay everybody out before the next team came in, which ended up being the Iconics. And it was great because everybody was laid out, so the Iconics just ran in there and tried to pin everybody as they were laid out. I thought these two did really well in this match, I just want to say.
The Iconics?
I just was kind of worried how well they'd have to do in an extensive wrestling match because they rarely have to do that. And I thought that they did really, really well in the match.
Yeah. From there, we have Naomi and Carmella, and these two run wild when they come out. For some reason, we have Billy and Carmella try to climb the side of the chamber, which I find weird, and this happened in the last match as well.
It doesn't make any sense. You're not gonna get out of the chamber that way. It's obviously just so they can do crazy spots, right? You know, you got to have your crazy spots.
And one of the other things that surprised me in this match, Mouth, was the fact that they really didn't do any eliminations until you had basically all the teams in there.
Yes.
That surprised me because the more people in a match, the more complicated it gets. But it still managed to stay very controlled and work out very nicely.
Yeah, and they did a lot of really smart spots. Like when Nia Jax and Tamina finally get to come out, the Iconics ran right into a chamber hit in the chamber. Like they did a lot of neat, fun spots like that that didn't really take away, but they added some character to the match, right?
And you had, you know, the spot between Mandy and Naomi. There was a confrontation there when they finally got into the ring
together. Teasing that angle they've been doing.
That made sense. Peyton and Billy, then they do, they do a great pinning combination on Naomi, and then Naomi and Carmella are the first ones eliminated out of the match.
Yes.
So that was good. All the teams then surrounded the Iconics, and then Tamina and Nia enter, and that's when, as you were saying, the Iconics ran into the chamber there. But as they wait for the final team to enter, instead of attacking the Iconics, they go after Nia and Tamina, and they come out and toss everybody around and eventually eliminate the Iconics.
Yeah,
they were the second
double
team.
Double Samoan drops and pin them both there. Yep.
The team takes turns squaring off here. The Riot Squad end up going to the top of the pods. Yep. Once again, Mouth, I don't get it. Why do they keep doing it?
It's because the fans expect it. Blame the Hardys, Edge and Christian, and the Dudley Boys.
They do a dual jump onto the other two performers. Nia from the second rope does a Samoan drop to Liv, and Tamina does a I don't know how super this fly was, but it was a squash.
The sort of fly splash, yes.
Onto the Riot Squad. The Riot Squad's eliminated. Then Nia charges at Bayley.
Oh, this was awesome.
I give her full credit for going full out here. Nia Jax destroys the chamber, knocks herself out. That prompts everyone to eliminate Tamina here.
Yeah, because
everyone
works
them down.
Bayley gave her the flying elbow off the top for Tamina, and then all the rest of them all piled on top of her to pin them. So, again, they did neat little things throughout the match to keep it entertaining.
And you had the story told here with the first two teams being the last two teams, right?
Yeah, that which was really cool. Yeah, it left the sport out that started to finish it off. And it was funny because they're the two that you and I picked to win, right? So one of us was going to be right by the end.
One of us did very well in the little game that we play, the Six Packs Challenge tonight.
But it came down to Bayley getting Sonya to tap to the bank statement to get the win. Bayley and Sasha, so they're the first women's champion. Again, as I said, amazing match. I really thought it would be a bit of a train wreck, but the ladies pulled it off. It played out relatively smooth. It was 34 minutes long and didn't seem like it really dragged in any spots. And Sasha did a great little promo afterwards, just kind of putting the women over for having this achievement and the other part of the women's revolution, as they like to do. But yeah, again, completely blown away. The match was way better than I thought it would be.
When they did the promo afterwards, it really reminded me of when Axe and Smash won their titles and they started to cry and their makeup also ran. A lot of tears.
It's a big moment, much. Jay. The crowd likes the emotion.
Yeah, because you know why? Because this is the peak these titles will ever be.
Well, that's the thing now. How are they going to get treated?
Here's my one complaint about this. I think it should have gone to heels because I think the baby faces should be chasing them to WrestleMania.
Yes, but you know what? I think they're going to do the kind of the breakup thing with these two.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's great. Then we can have a match where the titles are up for grabs again.
Yeah, it's weird. I just have this feeling in the back of my head that they're going to use this to finally pull the trigger on the Bayley-Sasha feud.
Tag Team Championship match was next. Miz and Mouth's favorite. Shane McMahon versus the controversial Usos.
Yes.
Miz comes out, gives congrats to Bayley and Sasha, then dedicates this to his dad, his daughter, and Maryse. Maryse pops out and says, she's pregnant again.
Pops out. What a great choice of words.
Ah, yes. It is another baby coming to Miz and Maryse. You know, Mouth, throughout this match, all I could think was Miz must love working with Shane because all he does is do the groundwork and Shane takes these ridiculous bumps.
That's right. He has to do he just gets all the heat on him and then Shane gets to do all the big spots. Yeah, because of course he had to do the coast to coast and he had an Uso in each corner and he was actually going to try it twice. And the first one he was successful, but the second one, thankfully, he ate a boot to the face. And of course he has to do his spot where he puts someone out on the announce table so he can do his elbow off the top rope. The finish, Miz got the skull-crushing finale on Jimmy for a near fall, and then Jimmy rolled him over and pinned him for the win. So we actually had the title change here, and the Usos, for the sixth time, are the tag team champions. And Miz picked up Shane after they lost, and it really looked like he was going to give him the skull-crushing finale some sort of retaliation or retribution. But no, they walked up the ramp together, and nothing happened.
Well,
so
we got a vignette
still
a little
together.
Bit later.
Yes.
We then have Dashabot with Bobby and Leo Rush, and she suggests Leo is the weak link and can lose the title for Bobby Lashley. As far as Dasha goes, this might have been the best background work of her career. Intercontinental title match is next. It's a handicap match. Finn Balor versus Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush. I don't like this whole thing, really. I hate how this is positioned, because you could kind of see where it was leading with Finn pinning Leo Rush, but it's a babyface pinning the smaller man and not pinning the champion. And that leads to dissension with Leo and Bobby. That's what we thought was going to happen, Mouth, and it did.
Yes. In this case, we did get the dissension. I mean, Finn's got the IC title coming out of this, but yeah, I agree. It would have been more appropriate to have him pin Lashley, but I had a feeling they wouldn't do that. I have a feeling they wanted to change this title, but they didn't want Lashley to get pinned. So we're going to just do this thing where we put the manager in and he can pin the manager. Because, I mean, Lashley already shows up, as we'll see later in the show, in a completely new storyline. So I think it was just they wanted to get the title off him, so this was the way they thought to do it without pinning him.
They show a package of Charlotte beating up Becky Lynch when she ran in during a house show the other day. Charlotte comes out to the ring and Charlie interviews her. Flair cuts a promo saying she's the best and doesn't need the fans' approval. She'll be sitting at ringside for the Raw Women's title match. It is Riot, Raw that is Ruby Riott versus Ronda Rousey or Sonya Blade in this case, because she comes out wearing...
Or Seth Rollins.
Yeah, well, that's what Mouth was thinking. Why'd she wear that? Yeah, did very much look like a Seth Rollins-style outfit. This was dedicated to the video game that she is a part of, Mortal Kombat, where she voices this character.
Yeah, Sonya Blade.
The match starts out with crowd chants of "We want Becky," and they didn't stop, but the match did. It was a squash match,
yes.
And the right decision, because it didn't allow the chance to screw up the match.
No, I had no problem with this one being super quick like this. It keeps Ronda really, really strong going into WrestleMania. And I mean, no, I don't think anybody expected that Ruby Riott was gonna win the title anyway. So I had no problem with it. And plus, we had a whole bunch of post-match stuff here. Because after the match, Charlotte, who was watching at ringside, she got in the ring. And then Becky, all of a sudden comes through the crowd with crutches, and they're all going on about how she's supposed to be suspended. And I'm like, what, security couldn't stop a girl on crutches?
There's no security.
I'm like, don't even bring that stuff up. Just say Becky's here.
Yeah.
She's suspended. Like, don't draw attention to it and go, well, yeah, security. Where's security? Like, she's a girl on crutches, for God's sake. So Becky gets in. She attacks Charlotte with one of the crutches really intensely, too. Like, she's just wailing on Charlotte with those shots with the crutch. And then Ronda just kind of stands there and just watches. And then Becky lost it, and she went wild and attacked Ronda.
Hold on. You missed something there.
Oh, did I?
This was actually well done. Ronda stands back, lets the attack happen.
Yeah.
Then Becky hands Ronda a crutch.
That's right.
And prompts Ronda to hit Charlotte. When Ronda starts to walk towards Charlotte, Becky then wails on Ronda
that's
with the crutch.
Right.
It
clever.
Really,
yes, it was
really
clever.
Reminded me of Stone Cold
totally.
Steve Austin. I mean, I know the comparisons are there, but the fact that it's don't trust anyone, you're a babyface, you're a heel, it doesn't matter. Stone Cold is going to take you out. It was kind of like, you know, when he used to stun Mick Foley and everyone was like, oh, but it's Mick. Doesn't matter.
That's right. That's right.
It doesn't matter. That's his character, and that's what Becky is all about. I mean, this was an odd segment to have on a pay-per-view that she wasn't booked on, but the crowd wants Becky all the time, and I think there was justification
and
to do this here.
They went wild. She beat the two of them up, and the crowd cheered her. It was great. And then finally, well, thank God, finally, the security and refs finally showed up to bring some order here. My goodness. But I don't know. I liked it. I liked it as a segment. I thought it was fine. And like you said, we couldn't have Becky in a match. So she's there. Her presence is known. And the fans get to see her. And I liked it.
Baron Corbin versus Braun Strowman. Do you want to say that same statement for this?
No.
It's a no DQ match.
I could care less. This could
awful.
Have been 3 minutes for...
Yeah, we were both hoping another squash match.
We're like, please. I don't know. I'm not attracted to this feud at all. I don't see any. I'm not excited about it anyways. No DQ, big deal. Corbin used a kendo stick. Braun took it from him, broke it. Braun put him through a table. Then Drew McIntyre came out with a chair, as did Lashley. Remember, it's no DQ. So they beat the hell out of him. And
no, the real thing that I think we need to take away from this, though, is they did the Shield powerbomb to Strowman.
Yes.
And it was that style where they put Strowman, two guys held Strowman up. They put him through two tables while standing on the steps. Obviously, that's a bit of an ode to the Shield. I do wonder what that means, if there's Ambrose or Rollins or whose involvement with this, if there is the Shield tie-in. Or Reigns?
I don't know.
I hope they don't waste him doing something like this.
I honestly thought they were just trying to do another big, spectacular-looking spot. I didn't really buy into any kind of connection with the Shield there.
I think that
might be a bit of a stretch, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Shane is lying on the trainer's table. Miz is freaking out that they lost. Shane calls him Mike, so you know it's got to be serious. Says we'll see him Tuesday. All right, Then Lacey Evans walks out. And walks back. Weirdest moment of the night.
This is so weird. Yeah, she just walks out, and then they cut to a very generic ad for WrestleMania, and then they come back, and there was, like, no mention of her. The announcers didn't even say anything. It was, I don't know, very strange. I would love to know if anyone was there at the show live.
Yeah, give us a call.
Give us a call, because I'd love to know what happened in that sequence. What'd she do, just walk down the ramp and then go to the back? You know, weird.
Well, let's take a look at the SmackDown Chamber match, and then we're going to take a break after this. So the SmackDown Chamber match, we know that Randy Orton is coming out last of the Chamber. Brian comes out last as far as introduction goes. Rowan is told to go to the back. Brian cuts a promo, says he doesn't want to be called a martyr, but they all need him. There is still hope that he will remain champion tonight. And the match starts with Brian versus Joe. Our two picks yes. in our little bet going head-to-head once again in this match. Much like the first match, Brian kind of tries to kill time here, like a Larry Zbyszko style, but eventually does engage with Joe. And Mouth Kofi's the second one in, and Kofi's the star of this match.
Absolutely. I mean, Jay and I were talking back and forth that, because this had to be changed so quickly with Mustafa Ali taking out, which you notice they didn't even talk about that.
No, they didn't even talk about
when they showed the montage leading into this. They made it look like Kofi was originally the first guy in. Like, they didn't even really acknowledge Mustafa Ali.
They did say that it was only a week ago that Kofi found out that he was supposed to be in here. And on the pre-show, they showed that Mustafa Ali promo as well.
That's true.
So they
that's
haven't
true.
Forgotten him. But, you know, I mean, the conversation that we had was, it's great to see Kofi doing this, but was this
exactly.
the spot for Mustafa Ali yes. to shine? Was this the booking scenario for Mustafa Ali?
I'm guessing this is exactly what they were going to do with him. They were going to really, really put the push on him and let him have a huge chunk of the match, work with everybody. Because Kofi was the great pick to come in because, A, the fans love him from being in the New Day, and they know he's always good for spectacular stuff in matches like the Royal Rumble and that. So, I mean, it was really great to put Kofi in, and they left Kofi in for a long time, too. And he was really great in this one, although he did do Jay's favorite thing where he climbed up the cage just for
always
no reason at all, but yeah, Kofi was third. Styles was out next. He went after Brian, and then Samoa Joe of all people was the first guy to get eliminated by AJ Styles. That was a bit of a surprise. I think
yeah.
we both expected Joe would be in the match a lot longer. Jeff Hardy was in next, who Jay actually forgot was even in the match.
I don't know why he's still in the main event mix here.
Yeah.
To do his swanton off the chamber. That's why.
Honestly,
swanton
I agree.
Off the pod.
That is
that's
totally
why
he's in there. He did a senton off the chamber on AJ, but then Brian hit him with a knee and pinned him, so he wasn't even in the match for very long.
No.
As we mentioned, Orton was in last. He took out Styles with the RKO, and then he tried to do that on Kofi, but Kofi got the trouble in paradise and actually pinned Orton. Now, can you imagine if that would have been Mustafa Ali pinning Orton there?
Well, I mean, it could very well have been, but,
yep.
you know, this is very clear that Either this was Ali's position or WWE saw what happened on Thursday and thought, hey, you know what? Kofi has got the crowd behind him and
yes.
we're going to make... He's also not a guy that they're concerned in pinning here,
no,
so it made sense
exactly.
to put him to the end with Daniel Bryan.
No, no matter what happens to him in this match, it doesn't really matter to overall. But yeah, the fact that they left him in so long, I have to believe this really has to be close to what they were going to do with Ali. But yeah, after Orton got pinned, we're left with Kofi and Bryan. There's lots of near falls with Kofi almost winning. The crowd's going wild. They fought on top of one of the chambers, but he knocked Brian off, and then Kofi went for the splash, but he missed, and then Brian got the flying knee, pinned Kofi. Great. Again, this was the second best match. I thought this match was really well done. The New Day came out to comfort Kofi, and the final image of the pay-per-view was them walking Kofi up the ramp. So there
That's
you go.
Interesting. Brian that it wasn't your champion. It was
no,
Kofi that
yeah,
was shown at the
I
end.
I know, exactly. Even after the match was done,
yeah.
there was the focus. Was on Kofi. So, I don't know. I mean, do you think this means revitalized push for Kofi, or just we needed you in here and where you get your bit of glory for one night and that's it?
Yes.
Option number two.
Option
eh?
Two.
Option
B.
All right.
Let's take a break. We're going to come on back and we're looking for your phone calls. What did you think of
yeah.
Kofi Kingston? Do you think that he will be getting a bit more of a push, or was it a one and done for him and he's just Mr. Reliable? The phone lines are open at 1-866-729-2562. A couple of you on the line, but a couple lines open. This is Sunday Night's Main Event. You're listening to it right here on TSN Radio. Thanks for listening to the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like to hear the second hour, just visit patreon.com/snmeradio and become a patron. This gives you access to the weekly shows and all the podcasts that we do as well. It's patreon.com/snmeradio.
Nobody hold for Kofi Kingston. Brian rolled out of the way. And now the WWE champion loading up in the corner.
Roby went for the home run.
Kofi went for it all. Bryan back up. Knee to the face. Cover. And Bryan retains his title.
There you have it. Daniel Bryan defeating Kofi Kingston. Those are the last two in the WWE Elimination Chamber tonight. Welcome back. It is Sunday night's main event. If you're tuning in now, we've already done the rundown.
Yes.
I know it's 11 o'clock.
That's right. It's 11:03.
Shockingly, the WWE pay-per-view tonight goes shorter than normal. I mean, still, Mouth, they're starting at 7 o'clock now, so we still got a 3 hour and about 15-minute pay-per-view.
Yes.
I mean, plus there was a pre-show as well, but a lot of people don't watch that. But, I mean, this was a fine time for a show.
Yeah, I think they, at least for these, what they consider the B shows, I think they realize that everything doesn't have to be epic, and it's kind of nice to have it done before. Before 11 o'clock, I think, for a lot of people. And yeah, I didn't feel, well, I guess the show dragged in a couple spots, mostly with Baron Corbin and Strowman. That's, to me, where it drags. But again, I love the fact that the first match and the last match were really fantastic. Unfortunately, a bit of, you know, filler in the middle, but overall, two really strong, solid chamber matches, and we don't always see that, you know.
Two good chamber matches and one good segment that happened
on
the show.
Right, with the Charlotte and Ronda and Becky,
really what was driving this show. All right, we are live, and we always do live shows after pay-per-views so we can take your phone calls, and that is what we are going to do. So let's go to the calls right now. Danny is on the line from Toronto to kick us off here. Welcome to the show, Danny.
Hey, how is it going? Welcome to your Call to Arms podcast. How are you?
All right. Very well, Danny. So what did you think of tonight's show?
I thought it was very good. And I just got to start off by saying that I feel very privileged to talk to two people that I grew up listening to, Dan and Jason. A 15-year-old Danny Williams is weeping inside by winning the Rock VHS videotape from 1999 back in the day off you guys on a radio station that shall not be mentioned, but yes, it's a pleasure to be talking to you guys.
Well, nice. Thank you for listening for so long and finding us in our new home here. So you watched the show tonight. Of course, this is Danny Williams from the Call to Arms podcast, partner of Bartender Dave. So Danny, what'd you think of tonight's show?
I thought it was great. I think the part of the show that really kind of captured my imagination and kind of like my excitement was the last 20 minutes of that Elimination Chamber. Something strange about the booking that's going on right now. I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone within WWE because we have Kofi Kingston, and Daniel Bryan having a one-on-one in a really like awe-inspiring, like a crowd-capturing segment. It was really special, and I think people have been waiting for this for a while, and the internet's been calling it for a bit. I know it's a little bit of a tip of the cap to the IWC, and it was really cool. It's something that's very special, and Kofi just goes to show how great of a worker he is, and I was standing through the entire time.
Do you think the question for me now was Kofi just filler in this match because Ollie was hurt, or do you think this represents a bona fide new push for Kofi?
I wish I was as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed as you are, Dan, right there, because unfortunately I think it might be filler because we all would like to dream that Kofi could be in that spot, but it makes no sense from a kayfabe point of view. Like, he hasn't been built up to be in this situation. Unfortunately, which sucks, is that he can hang. Like, he should be there, but I think it's a little bit of a nudge in the ribs from the elbow.
But the final image of the show was Kofi. The final image was not Daniel Bryan holding up the title. The final image was Kofi being let out of the cage.
So how cynical am I? I guess I just get used to the WWE form of booking. If one was smart, I would dovetail off this and drive him to the moon right now and do something interesting towards WrestleMania.
Yeah, see, I'm trying to be the optimist in this here hope that something good will come out of it. But, I mean, you could totally be right. It could easily just be filler, and they just needed someone for the night, and he's back to just throwing pancakes tomorrow.
Right, well, what would you do if that was the case? Let's say there was a complete change in creative. How would you book Kofi tomorrow to, like, completely alter it and change the shift of interest towards the road to WrestleMania.
All right, so there you go. That's your question. Thanks for the call, Danny. So Kofi Kingston towards WrestleMania, I'll throw that at
that
you.
That is a tough one.
Danny throws that at because I just believe he's going to find his way back into the New Day.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, I was actually, while you guys were chatting, I was looking up, I had to remember who had the U.S. title to see if maybe they could put Kofi there. But I mean, right now, that's just sitting on Truth.
Yeah.
You know, Truth has the U.S. title. If it was on Nakamura, they could spin off a program
right.
and do Kofi and Nakamura. And that
right.
would actually be quite interesting, I think, maybe to revitalize Nakamura as well, who's certainly having his difficulties.
Maybe you use this as a stopover for the next pay-per-view for Fastlane for something for Daniel Bryan to do before Mania.
Who are you building with Daniel Bryan for WrestleMania?
Well, that's it. I mean, we don't really have any notice in that. I mean, you know.
That's been the question that we've been asking. I mean, it doesn't look, from tonight, it did not look like AJ Styles is there.
No,
you had Orton eliminate AJ Styles tonight and
Joe.
Orton take out AJ Styles on Thursday as well.
Yeah,
that shocked me.
Exactly, and I don't think Joe is going to be in that mix either from the way he was treated in the match tonight. So it's a tough one. I don't know. I mean, I would not have a major problem with Kofi, although I don't know. I suppose it's not the
guys,
top guy.
I don't
that
think this
they're
is happening.
Do with Mania. I could see maybe Kofi next pay-per-view.
I could maybe see that.
Just
Let's
to
also
say,
consider Mustafa Ali's not going to be out for that long.
No, that's true. He should be back relatively soon, right?
Could you imagine if poor Mustafa Ali, who's finally got a push and Kofi has swooped in now and Kofi's captured the hearts of the WWE audience and he's lost his spot?
That's part of it, right? I mean, it wasn't like the audience was booing that Kofi was in this match. The audience is behind this. I think if they decided to push him, I don't think you'd get any complaint from the fans.
What is it? Wally Pipp? Is that what we're talking about here? Wasn't he the guy that he was a first baseman and who replaced him? You know what? I'll come up with this in a bit, but there's this legendary baseball story about Wally Pipp. Anyhow, let's go to our next phone call here, and that is going to be Paul from New Jersey who's on the line. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. First, I always put him over. I got to put him over. I get such a kick out of the Iconics. They cracked me up and hiding in the pod and, you know, putting over Nia and Tamina so hard. I really enjoyed that. And I want to get your thoughts. Like, obviously, Kofi had a great showing and the fans are behind him. But I also think a lot of that is maybe a part of Daniel Bryan. I think if it was like Samoa Joe and Kofi, I think the crowd would probably be split or mixed. But I just think, like, the work this guy does, I think he elevates so many people and makes people like Kofi. Like, of course, Kofi's extremely talented, but I think I put Daniel Bryan in that category of like a Bret Hart. Is like he gets the best out of people and gets big moments out of people. And I just think that tonight was also such a compliment to him.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I can't argue with that. I mean, it's true. It's true.
I mean, look at the conversion that he's made. Thanks for the call, Paul. I mean, look at the conversion that he's made with flipping him over to the heel. Now, I was one of the people who I could see the potential in the character, but I didn't think he was done as a babyface. But ultimately, I'm proven wrong here because this character is excellent. I mean, the belt is wonderful. What they've done with the belt.
Oh, it looks so great.
Tonight,
I love it.
If you notice the Titantron, I mean, I don't know how long this has been going on for, but he has the recycling symbol. And his whole thing tonight was all green.
Yeah.
Like, everything was color-coded in green. Yeah. He has the recycling symbol. Yeah. That's completely ridiculous and also completely fabulous at the same time. And I've seen you, Mouth, go on social media about this character of Daniel Bryan works because it's rooted in reality.
Yes.
He's just being a dick about
it. To me, that's classic heel, is that the heel has a genuine point, but he's being a jerk about it. And that's the way it used to be. That's something with heel characters that got lost through a lot of the Attitude Era and stuff like that. But to me, that always makes a heel work. You know, he's right, but he's just being a jerk about it. Yeah.
We are going to take a break here. When we come back, we got Jim and Hansy on the line to chat with. So don't hang up, guys. We'll get to you. That means we got a couple lines open as well at 1-866-729-2562. Taking a break. Come on back. This is Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it live right here on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Out! Score! Is that it? Can he do it for his team? Miz into the cover. No.
Oh, and a kick out. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. We got new champions.
This is, of course, the new Usos theme.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right after what happened this week. Little drunk driving charge.
Well, no. He was not driving intoxicated. Apparently, the story, and we will talk to Dave Meltzer a little bit more about this, was Jimmy Uso was in the passenger seat. Naomi was driving. Naomi was driving the wrong way down a one-way street.
Right.
They were pulled over by the police, and then Jimmy decided to get out of the vehicle and square up with the cops. He then took himself down, but was still brought in. So, I mean, you had that controversy happen tonight, along with that, all the stuff that's going on with Corey Graves as well. And yet both of these two were featured prominently on the show tonight. The Usos being given the titles.
That's They won
the
exactly.
It seems like the MO might be from WWE. It's like, well, they do what they do in their personal lives, but that doesn't affect what we do with them on the program.
But that was the statement they released after he got caught. Yeah, they just said, what he does in his own time, that's up to him.
What we played for you there was the title change that happened. So the Usos have the titles now, and there was definitely tension between Shane and The Miz. We saw that in the vignette afterwards, mouth eye for see, as I've seen since these two got together. Together, this is your match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's quite obvious now that they put the two together. You knew they were going to break up eventually. And, I do feel you are correct. This will be WrestleMania, and we'll see more of Shane jumping off the top rope and going through the announce table. And
you're excited about it, is what you're saying.
Oh, boy, I can't wait.
Let's go back to the phones. Jim is on the line from St. Paul to chat with us. Hello, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I loved the last 20 minutes, like probably everybody did, with Kofi and Daniel Bryan. But my wife even, and I preface this question to you guys saying that I'm a white male married to a black woman.
Okay.
And she follows wrestling enough to kind of get the WWE and some of their screwed up things they do. She asked me, do you think the only reason why they're pushing Kofi is because it's Black History Month?
Well, that didn't even cross my mind.
Me neither. I didn't really think of that. But
well,
they do make a big deal out of Black History Month. I mean, with the vignettes on every show. And
So does,
she saw that on Raw. She saw that vignette with them going through the history museums and stuff like that on Raw. And she just kind of laughed and said that's kind of screwed up what they're doing, but
I don't blame WWE for that, because if you're watching here in Canada, I mean Sportsnet does vignettes as well. Also, let's think about this though, Jim. If Mustafa Ali had not been injured, then Kofi's not in this match. So for that reason, I don't think that there was any motive for being Black History Month for this storyline.
And I agree with you there. I mean, I just thought that was just a interesting theory that just kind of a outsider saw. Love you guys' show. Listen every week. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the phone call. Much appreciated. All right, we are continuing on here. And if you want to get in on it, we're live tonight. We're going to do Dave Meltzer's segment at 11:30 because we got moved up a half hour. And if you're joining us late, of course, the show will always be posted up at SundayNightsMainEvent.com for you to hear our Elimination Chamber rundown. But we're taking your phone calls. Always the focus after pay-per-views. Myself and the mouth here with you in studio. 1-866-729-2500 562, and how can we have a call-in show without Hansy from Toronto giving us a ring? Hi, Hansy.
Yo, what's going on, man? I thought the show, other than a few clunkers with Baron Corbin and Braun Strowman, I liked the Women's Elimination Chamber match. I thought people were already ready to go, okay, it's going to be a botch fest, right?
It didn't
botch as much. I mean, it was noticeable. But two things about the main event. Samoa Joe now, to me, is becoming Bray Wyatt in that he'll drop the dopest promos and, like, he'll scare you and your whole family. But when it comes to, like, delivering, like, he just looks like a schlub. Like, I just feel like they've always dropped the ball whenever they make him look strong with promos or actions and all that.
Hold on, as you just willfully agree with this point there, Mouth. Hold on. Bray Wyatt's delivery of promos was exceptional when it started, but there was no evolution to his character, and therefore his character became stale. Also, in the ring, he never really connected for me, and we saw that constantly as he wrestled performer after performer and never really connected once he got in the ring. Samoa Joe's promos have, to me, evolved, and he's still fantastic on the mic, and he does switch things up, and he does connect in the ring. Now, I do think that you do have a point in regards to Samoa Joe being in the main event picture and just kind of working the outside of it as opposed to actually really being given a chance. And because of that, I think fans have now come to realize that they shouldn't put any stock in Samoa Joe because he never gets where we want him to go.
Not even close. He doesn't even get close.
No, exactly. No, but the reason why I was comparing it to Bray Wyatt is that these guys have made they've had venomous promos where you're like, okay, well, if their character wins, then it puts over what they've said on the mic. It's gotten to the point where both of them have said stuff where they're trying to make you believe that they're going to be a threat, and then they both kind of let you down. I'm not saying that Bray is as good as Joe in the ring, and Joe has been a better promo than him. I agree with you on that. But with Kofi Kingston, you guys are saying that, okay, would have been Ali's thing, and maybe it would have, but I guarantee you it wouldn't have been as over as with Kofi, because if you're a hardcore fan, I mean, it's been talked about online all the time about every now and then, will Kofi ever get a shot at it, or is he serious enough does he deserve to be in a match like that? Can he deliver? And I feel like this past week has been his best week in his entire career. And to me, it feels like, you know, it feels like if it was Mustafa Ali, it might have been over. But because we have that investment with Kofi for a decade plus,
sure.
If you go back to 2009, he was like one of the most over guys in 2009. And that still leaves a lot of fans sour. So to me, I feel like it delivered more with Kofi. And I wouldn't be mad if they put him in a title program. And the reason why I say they can put him in a title program, the WWE title is not going to main event this year, right? It's going to be the women's main event.
Yeah.
If not the women's main event, it'll be Brock Lesnar and Rollins, right? So I think you can do something risky with the WWE title if it's going to be down the card a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be in the main event. So you can still have, like, your amazing main event with Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda, but you can still also have an amazing moment with Kofi if you decide to go that route.
I just can't see it.
Yeah.
You're saying it, Hanzi. I hear the words out of your mouth, but are you believing what you're saying? Do you think that's an act? Is there any chance at all of what you're saying happening in your truest of true brain that has been watching wrestling probably, since you were a kid?
Okay, listen, probably not, but in a sense, tonight, at least for like a couple hours, they made me not bitch and moan about politics inside of the backstage, and I actually believed for a moment that Kofi had a chance. Mm. And I'll say that I was invested in it for the whole match, basically.
Remember the match when on Raw, Taka Michinoko wrestled Triple H?
Yes.
And we believed for, a few minutes
that
he was going to get the win.
Yes.
And the crowd got behind him. And that was kind of like what happened tonight. Honestly, I don't see it. Thanks for the call, Hanzi.
I don't know if, I mean, we'll see it either, but I do think Hanzi has a point with the idea that I don't know if the crowd would have taken it to as much as they did if it was Mustafa
Ali. I agree.
Because we do have a huge part, and Kofi always has been a favorite of the fans, and I honestly think some fans might have even complained that they think Ali's being stuffed down our throats if he was given that much of a push in this match. So I think with Kofi, certainly was a good replacement. Whether there's more to the picture, we'll have to see what they do on tomorrow night, Tuesday night on SmackDown. But, I mean, certainly it wouldn't hurt if you don't have anything else for Brian to put him in there with him at Mania, and I think people would enjoy the match. And, you know, the two of them would have a killer match.
Yeah, it's interesting. When Hanzi was talking there and he was like, Kofi's been over ever since this point. I was sitting here on my computer trying to figure out when Kofi had that remarkable run, and it was 2009. I mean, the thing I always remember is him smashing Randy Orton's car.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, yes.
He was super over at that time, and it really didn't seem to go anywhere beyond that. I just don't see. I mean, yeah, it would be nice, and the point is made that, yeah, it's not going to be the main event at WrestleMania, but I don't see it happening.
But again, they don't always pay attention to the crowd. Obviously, Daniel Bryan was a prime example of that at first. But, I mean, what if they watched that tonight, and what if they saw that, and what if they went,
What if?
I know they're big what-ifs,
but,
you
know. Well, I
guess,
you know, the McMahons have changed, you know.
That's right. They're nice guys now, Jay. They're babyface.
They're nice guys. So, I mean, this is something to talk about here in regards to the fact that we haven't got into what happened on Raw over the past couple weeks, and you haven't been on the show with me, but it's a matter of the McMahons come out, what, 3 months ago and say that everything's changed, and they're giving the fans what they want, and then, you know, the fans want Becky Lynch, and all of a sudden Becky Lynch has got to jump through hoops on a bad knee in order to get into this. And then what I hated what happened on Monday when Becky goes through the test, apologizes, Triple H and Stephanie are like, okay, you're good to go. And then Vince comes out.
That was really stupid.
Stumbles over his words, which they've done some beautiful editing with. Every time it's going to be the biggest main event, and they edited that out perfectly. But Vince comes out and presents, you know, Charlotte there, and I didn't understand. Are they now teasing tension between Vince and Triple H again? Like, is that what's happening here? Because why do we need that once again?
Or are they still sticking to their thing that Becky, in our belief, is a heel, so if McMahon comes out and does this, he's the babyface?
Becky, in our belief, is a heel? Becky's
the company. The company has pushed her as a heel.
Yeah, that's over now.
You sure?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, Mouth. That's done. They've given up.
Okay.
Look at what happened tonight.
Yeah, no.
She is a full-out baby face now. I mean, and that was really, I think that might have been the moment right there of the declaration, because when you have Charlotte Flair there being presented as the corporate champion, corporate representative, it was the, in respect, it's almost like the, this is who we're going to stuff down your throats.
Yeah.
The exact thing that the fans have complained about with the Roman Reigns. It's like, we are outwardly going to tell you that this is who we're stuffing down your throat, even though in actuality, it's kind of Ronda that they're really pushing down their throats, because she's the key, the big ticket, right?
Yeah.
But they're going to say that with Charlotte, so Charlotte takes on all of this heat, and now Becky's the one that they don't want. Becky is the, you know, the Daniel Bryan who's got the crowd behind her. And this time, listen, I do believe, obviously, that she is in the main event at WrestleMania. Mm. It is the main event at WrestleMania. I think the question still lies with, is that last moment at WrestleMania, Becky standing on the ropes with the title held high?
Exactly, yeah.
Is that the last moment? I think it should be.
Well, I think it should be, especially if Ronda is leaving.
Well,
if Ronda is leaving, yes, and...
say leaving, by the way, we don't mean gone. It's
good,
a part-time
slowing
down.
Yeah, shorter, smaller schedule.
Yeah. Or do you want Ronda there so ESPN has their heyday and can report on it? And it's still, you know, because you have, here's the aspects,
you know,
that you have.
Those type of concessions making to media and stuff like that are mistakes.
It's nothing new.
Yeah, you're right. It's nothing new, but does it often work? No.
It might get you
that one day pop, but in the big picture, has it ever made a major change?
I think that there is a certain mindset that when something seems predictable, especially at WrestleMania, it's not necessarily given to the fans. And we've seen this a few times when there was a certain expectation of, well, there's a worry of Roman Reigns winning over the past few years, so they delayed it.
Yeah.
And there is, I think, you know, when it comes down to it, you have a want and you have a desire to see Becky win at WrestleMania. So if that becomes such a desire that it seems predictable, do they shift it off to Backlash? Because in this case, I think that is a terrible mistake.
No, I would think that would be a really, really stupid move too. Like, that's they've got something. Look, in this day and age, it's hard to get stuff to get fans really get behind and get motivated and get, you know, so emotionally involved that they'll stick with it no matter what. And that's what they've got with Becky. And honestly, if they're so blind as to see, to mess with that, not have her win at Mania, hold it off to Backlash would be really stupid.
I think
you've got to do it at Mania. It's the crowning moment. It's the final. Think of all those Manias that have ended with those guys winning belts, like Eddie Guerrero, stuff like that, where it's been the big final image that you see and the crowd going wild. I think with Becky, they've got the chance for this. They want to put the push on the women. You know, she can have good matches with other people. I think you have to have the culmination of the story at Mania.
So expect her to win at Backlash. We've got to take a break. We are going to come on back. Dave Meltzer bumped up in the show tonight because we've already been on the air for an hour. So we'll talk to Dave next, and then more of your phone calls available as well. 1-866-729-2562. We are live talking about the Elimination Chamber tonight. What'd you think? We'll talk to Dave next, Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Well, that's hour one of Sunday night's main event, and each and every week, hour two includes the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer, Turnbuckle Trivia, Feedback, and often the Triple Threat is in the second hour as well. If you'd like to hear it, just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio and become a patron. Contributions start at for as little as $4 a month. And that also includes our patron-exclusive podcast that I often mention on the show. Once again, patreon.com/SNMEradio.